بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعظيمنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وأصحابه الغر الميامين. الحمد لله الذي جعلنا من المتمسكين بولاية سيدي ومولاي علي بن أبي طالب. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أما بعد، respected scholars, brothers and sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We continue with our examination of chapter 49 of the Quran, Surah Al-Hujurat, with verse number 6. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إن جاءكم فاسق بنبأ فتبينوا أن تصيبوا قوما بجهالة فتصبحوا على ما فعلتم نادمين. In the previous verses of Surah Al-Hujurat, we had seen how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taught us that the first basis of an ethical society, especially at the time of the revelation of these verses, was that there needs to be unconditional trust and submission to the message of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his family. If I do not unconditionally submit to his message, then the ethical program which he has is not going to be able to flourish as it should be. After that, we were then taught that once the Prophet begins his message, the first of the etiquettes amongst many which the Prophet taught us was that the basis of all our akhlaq, all our morals, is the way we use our tongue. If we allow this tongue to be loose, then it can cause destruction in society. And we mentioned the narration of the Imam when he said, "The weight of the tongue is so little, but the power of the tongue is so great." You find that the tongue could be used to talk about the message of the Prophet and his family, to spread good virtues amongst humanity, to supplicate or to recite from the Quran. And at the same time, if you look at the opposites, the tongue could be used to curse fellow human beings or to destroy their lives. In this verse, which in my opinion is one of the most important verses in the Holy Quran, because this verse can be used for so many aspects of Islamic life. You could use this verse when it comes to society and the etiquettes of society. You could use this verse in the study of usul al-fiqh and the principles of jurisprudence. You could use this verse when it comes to hadith and reliability of a hadith narrator. This verse, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن جَاءَكُمْ فَاسِقٌ بِنَبَئٍ, has got multiple usages because of its importance. O you who believe, if one who publicly and openly commits sins, a fasiq, brings you any news, then ascertain its truthfulness carefully. Otherwise you may bring harm to a group of people and then regret what you have done. Making up rumors and lying is the cause of destruction in any community. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it clear in this verse, O you who believe, when someone comes and brings you a piece of news about somebody else, make sure you check the reliability of this piece of news and the reliability of the narrator of the piece of news. Otherwise, you may end up causing destruction to someone's life who was otherwise very innocent. If you look at many television channels and many newspapers today, or if you look at the internet, you will find there is what is known as a gossip column. Yes? Gossip column. And under the gossip column, it tells you who is dating who, and who was seen where, and who said what, and who wore what. And before you know it, you're actually entering the private lives of fellow human beings. Islamic law, when someone came and said, what's the Islamic law's aim? What is the philosophy of Islamic Sharia? Islamic Sharia, or Islamic law, sought to protect five areas in society. It sought to protect your property, your honor, your intellect, your life, and your religion. If somebody ever asks you the question, what's the philosophy of Islamic law? Say to them, fil ar. Fil ar. Someone says, what do you mean fil ar? P-H-I-L-R. Property, honor, intellect, life, religion. When Sharia came, and when non-Muslims ask us the question, what's the need for law? You people bringing us these verses in the Quran, which you say are legal verses about the way we have to practice our religion. Why did God need to send law? I, as a human, can make up my own law. The reply is, no human being can exist without a legal system surrounding them. Can they? No. Today, if I drive, and there aren't speed cameras, I can drive like a lunatic at 125 miles per hour. When I know there's a speed camera, don't I always get a bit slower near the camera? Because I know there's a law which is looking after my property, my car, my honor, my wife, my intellect and its future, my life, and possibly even the future of my religion. Therefore, Islam, amongst the aims of Islamic law, was to protect our honor. That's why this verse came down harshly. O you who believe, when a person comes to you, now I'm saying person at the moment, the verse says fasiq. Fasiq is someone who commits open sins. Now when it comes to the fasiq, you would expect the Muslims, when a fasiq comes to them to say, this person, I'll never trust him, he's an open sinner. Today, the Muslims, you could be a sinner or a truthful person. When they bring you gossip, you want to hear. If you go to the Western media outlets, in every newspaper, there is a gossip column. This football player has a private life, yes? He's got a private life, the football player in the UK, like Ryan Giggs. Ryan Giggs plays for Manchester United Football Club. It's very difficult for me to say this, by the way. He has his own private life. What he does in his private life is not my concern. But unfortunately, a society which comes and is used to spreading false rumors will enter this man's life. The rumors about him which are true, they'll spread, and the rumors which aren't true, they'll spread as well. Do you think this person, if you go up to him now, will be happy with the society he's in? Because however much certain societies say we are free and modern, there is a virus at the bottom of their society. Because the freedom and modernity means that false rumors are accepted about someone's private life. How is that a free society? A free society is when we respect each other's private lives, isn't it? That's freedom. I want my Muslim brother to do what the Prophet said. When you see a Muslim brother in an act, give them 70 benefits of the doubt. Isn't it? How many benefits? 70. That means I have to make excuses for them. I see Sayyid Ammar Nakhshawani crossing the road one day in Dar es Salaam. Or I see Sheikh Safdar crossing the road. From my angle, there seems to be a lady not wearing hijab next to Sayyid Ammar. From my angle. I could either look and say, I don't think Sayyid Ammar's got any relationship with this lady. Sayyid Ammar's probably just crossing the road. Or from another angle, I could go to the community and tell them, did you know Sayyid Ammar Nakhshawani, when he crosses the road, there is non-mahram woman with him? This news doesn't stay in Dar es Salaam, by the way. Tomorrow, New York is. The day after, London. The day after, Dubai. And then Toronto has a story that Sayyid Ammar married that lady. It is what we call Chinese whispers. When Rasulullah said, give 70 benefits of the doubt, Rasulullah was saying that you should look after the honor of your brother, not destroy his honor. Look after the honor of your sister, don't destroy her honor. Recently, the famous newspaper, News of the World, was finished. One of the most famous newspapers ever. Rupert Murdoch. Finished. So, what was the reason? Hacking into people's private lives. In the past, when the gossip was nice, everyone was reading the front page of News of the World. But when it suited them, then later they said, now we don't like this anymore. But you were reading everything. Diana's life, you finished. This person's life, you finished. That person's life, you finished. The worst disease in a society is making up rumors about people's lives. And that's why Imam al-Hasan salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi has a fantastic line when they said to him, what's the difference between truth and falsehood? Interesting question. But an imam's answer is so precise. Imam said four fingers between the ears and the eyes. What you hear in the ears must be verified by the eyes. Someone then says, but Sayyid Ammar, I saw it in my eyes. What you see in the eyes, you must give 70 benefits of the doubt for. At the end, will you end up making a rumor? No. If you've given one benefit of the doubt, then there's a chance the rumor will spread. And that's why you notice, our Prophet could never, ever, have announced his Nubuwwah were it not for the fact that he already had a title called As-Sadiq. Truthful. Had Rasulullah been known to be one who spreads rumors and gossip, then they would have never listened to him when he said, I am telling you of a God who you cannot see. Sadiq. Nabi Yusuf in the prison, Yusuf ayyuha as-Siddiq. Sadiq. Imam al-Sadiq is given the title Sadiq because he is Sadiq in his words and in his pledges. If however you receive the title Kazzab, liar, then that is the most detested title in the religion of Islam. And do you know how many a travesty was caused because of a rumor or a lie in our communities and 1,400 years ago? In our communities, there are girls who cannot get married because of people making rumors about them which were never true. Never true. And do you think that person goes back to the girl and says, I'm sorry? No. But in that case, you haven't taken the haqq of Allah. You've taken the haqq of Allah's creation. And both of them you'll be asked about on the Day of Judgment. Do you know how many people we've accused when we've seen someone with a beautiful building in a country? We say, I think the money he gets is in haram. The person earns his money in halal. But because we are envious of their wealth, we start making rumors that they're receiving money in haram. In other words, you find that the religion of Islam says, give the benefits of the doubt as much as you can. But if you begin a rumor, that rumor can end up destroying your society. The battle of Badr, it began because of a rumor. That's it. One rumor, and Abu Sufyan has already caused havoc. You know how Abu Sufyan began the battle of Badr? Abu Sufyan was returning back to Mecca. Rasulullah had left Mecca, of course, on the night of Hijrah, he gone to live in Medina. Abu Sufyan, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab were all unhappy. That how is it that Muhammad can leave Mecca, go to Medina and live there in peace? Abu Sufyan, returning back from his journey, has all these goods which he's bought to take back to Mecca, yes? He tells his servant, I want you to go to Mecca quickly and make a rumor that Muhammad has taken all the goods of the people. His servant says, but how I look like a normal person. People will say, if Muhammad took my goods, wasn't I involved in a fight or something? He said, very well. So he ripped his clothes, he hit him, gave him an injury, hit the camel, and said, now go back. This person returned back to Mecca, and he made an announcement to the people, oh people, oh Arabs, your goods have been stolen. The people said, what do you mean? And as I said, Arab does not like losing money. Say to him anything, but don't say money. So when he heard, the people heard this, they said, what do you mean? He said, Abu Sufyan, the poor man, is on his way back, and half of your goods have been taken, and all because of Muhammad. Abu Jahl said, I will never allow Muhammad to live. Rumor. It's not true. But Abu Jahl said, we will raise an army of more than 950 people, and we'll go there, and we'll finish Muhammad and his people off. The narrations, what do they say? Abu Sufyan, by the way, you will notice something with people who make rumors. When the trouble occurs, they're not there. He's the one who caused all the trouble. When the trouble occurs, is he there? He's gone somewhere else. The community is now broken. Abu Sufyan, did he come to the Battle of Badr? Abu Sufyan's first appearance in a battle was at the Battle of Uhud. Abu Jahl left with the army. They reached the land of Badr, the area of Badr and the wells of Badr. Rasulullah, that day he only had 313. Rasulullah asked the people, what's the situation? They say, Ya Rasulullah, there's been a rumor about you. What's the rumor? The rumor is that you have stolen the goods of Abu Sufyan. He said, here I am. Do I have any goods? They said, Ya Rasulullah, whether you have or you don't, know that Abu Jahl has come and they are ready with an army. Rasulullah had the Muhajirun with him and the Ansar. The Muhajirun were his companions from Mecca who came with him. They done Hijrah. The Ansar, Ansar means the helper, the people of Medina. Rasulullah told the Muhajirun, are you willing to help me? One of the Muhajirun, we don't need to mention names, you know who, said, Ya Rasulullah, we'll never defeat them. They are 900 more, we are 300. Ya Rasulullah, don't fight them, leave them. Miqdad stood up. He said, Ya Rasulullah, we will not do to you what the children of Israel done to Musa when they said to him, go you and your Lord. We are with you until the last moment. 313 came out at the Battle of Badr. The opposition was more than 900. But Allah shows us something. If someone makes a rumor about you, do not think I let that person get away with it with victory. There will be a day you will be rising and they will fall. Please never forget this. Sometimes in our communities, when someone's made a rumor about our life, we feel sad. But Allah has promised that I make sure I never do oppression to anyone. Let them make rumors. I'll finish them off. And that's why we have to beware of it, because it can finish us off one day. Everything swings in roundabouts. You've heard that quote? That day in the Battle of Badr, 313 against more than 950. Battle of Badr happened in this month, holy month of Ramadan. It happened in about 10 days' time. Utbah bin Rabi'ah came out in that battle. Do you know who Utbah is? Muawiyah's grandfather from his mum's side. Hind's father. Utbah came out with his son and with another companion. And he came out and he said, "Where is the man who took our property?" A rumor. And look what's happening. "Bring us your three most powerful soldiers." So Rasulullah said, "Hamza, go out and approach him." Hamza came out and said, "Myself, Ubaidah, Ali." And you've seen that moment in the film, The Message. And the third sword comes out with 2 points. Yes? Imam finished two of the three of them. And ironically, one of them was Muawiyah's grandfather. And that's why As-Saffin Imam said to him, "Why don't you fight me one-on-one? Do you forget what I did to your grandfather at Badr?" But that battle of Badr, they achieved their victory in it. Because they didn't say, "People are making rumors, that's it, I don't want to come and fight." Sometimes in our communities, when people make rumors, we give up on the community, isn't it? We say, "I'm not coming to mosque anymore." The mosque is for the people or for Allah? Don't tell me I'm not coming to the mosque because people are making rumors. That mosque was begun by Rasulullah. That mosque was served by Al Muhammad. You come to that mosque not for the people but for Allah. Someone asks this verse, who was it revealed about? Must have had a reason, a cause of revelation. This verse was revealed about Al-Walid ibn Uqbah. This Al-Walid ibn Uqbah, his father Uqbah was one of the staunchest enemies of Rasulullah. His father, Abu Jahl, Abu Sufyan, Abu Lahab, used to hurt Rasulullah every day in his life. Wallah. Every day in his life they used to hurt Rasulullah. They used to throw garbage on Rasulullah. When he was in sujood, they throw the feces of animals on his head. Rasulullah, if he was in sujood, Uqba, Walid's father, would throw garbage on the head of Rasulullah. And this Uqba was one of the prime enemies who used to cause rumors about Rasulullah, to the extent that at the Battle of Badr, he was alongside Abu Jahl, but he got killed. Al-Walid, his son, his story is a fascinating story. Do you know why? This person, the Quran ends up calling him Fasiq, yet later he gets a position in Islam higher than Ali ibn Abi Talib. Walid had become a Muslim. Rasulullah said to him, "Walid, go to Bani Mustalaq. They have also become Muslims. I want you to go and collect the taxes from them." Bani Mustalaq and Walid, before Islam, didn't like each other. But if I become a Muslim and you become a Muslim, we then become friends of each other, don't we? Our past differences have gone. Walid, when he went to collect the taxes from Bani Mustalaq, Bani Mustalaq heard that the representative of Rasulullah is coming to visit us. It was an honor for Bani Mustalaq, yes? So Bani Mustalaq said, all of us will come out of our village and all of us will welcome him, because he's the rep of Rasulullah. Walid, still, Islam hadn't entered his heart. It was just lip service. Walid got to Bani Mustalaq, he's looking from far away, and he's like, why are all of them coming out? Maybe they all want to kill me. I'm going to go back to Rasulullah and say, Bani Mustalaq have all become kafir again. Bani Mustalaq, all they did was come out to welcome him. But because he still had that hatred in his heart, he said, the best thing I'm going to do, I'm going to go back towards the Prophet, and I'm going to say what? I'm going to say that Bani Mustalaq have all become kafir. When this Walid went back towards the Holy Prophet, the narration states to us, he came to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, I have news for you. The Prophet said to him, what is it? He said, I didn't collect any taxes. Rasulullah said, what do you mean? He said, Bani Mustalaq have become kuffar, disbelievers. Rasulullah said, are you sure? He said, yes. Bani Mustalaq done their shahada under me. And I hear that they are people of salah and they are people of sawm, and surely they haven't become kafir. Walid said, no, I promise. I went there, they become kuffar. Rasulullah was saddened. And he said, if this is the case, then I have to go and check this up, or Amir al-Mu'mineen is going to go and check this up. When they sent people to go and look at Bani Mustalaq, what Rasulullah did, he sent some people to see, is these people truly gone back to what they were? He saw the innocent people in salah. The innocent people were praying. The innocent people were doing good duties in their family. The verse was revealed about this man. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. In ja'akum fasiq, Allah called him fasiq, a person who's an open sinner. When a fasiq comes to you with a piece of news, verify it. Otherwise, you will put a piece of people in ignorance and later you will regret it. And that's why in the science of hadith, one of the reasons they started scrutinizing the biography of the narrators was because of this ayah, where they said, when a person narrates, we have to verify. If he is reliable, we take. If he is not reliable, then we have to question the narration. This Walid, Allah didn't just call him fasiq in this verse. The verse in the Quran in Surah 32, verse 81, which we even, if I'm not mistaken, recite in Dua Kumail. أَفَمَنْ كَانَ مُؤْمِنًا كَمَنْ كَانَ فَاسِقًا لَا يَسْتَوُونَ was revealed about Walid and about Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullah wa salamuhu alayhi. Both of them were talking about themselves. Imam was saying his position, Walid was saying his position. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, is he who is the true believer like the one who is an open sinner? And that's why you have the famous lines of poetry on this area which Hassan bin Thabit narrated. When he came forward and said, أنزل الله والكتاب عزيز في علي وفي الوليد قرآنا فتبوى الوليد إذ ذاك فاسقا وَعَلِيٌّ مَبُوءٌ إِيمَانًا. What did he say? Allah has revealed in his indisputable book about Ali and Walid a verse through which wickedness was attributed to Walid and through which faithfulness was attributed to Ali. But I wish Hassan bin Thabit and all of them could see where Walid ended up and where Ali ended up. Do you know where Waleed ended up? In the time of Abu Bakr, he didn't have a role. In the time of Umar, no role. In the time of Uthman, Uthman ibn Affan makes him governor of Kufa. Governor of what? Kufa. As someone who the Quran has said is a fasiq, you make him governor of Kufa? Before him it was Abdullah bin Mas'ud. But Abdullah bin Mas'ud, Walid, being the brother-in-law of Uthman, and this was Uthman's downfall. This appointment was Uthman's downfall. Because people were beginning to notice, hold on a minute, this person's family, everyone's getting a position. The good companions are not getting any positions. And this person is getting positions. Uthman saw Al-Walid. Al-Walid went to Abdullah bin Mas'ud. He said, give me 300,000 dinar. Abdullah said, what? He said, I want from the treasury 300,000 dinar. In those days, unfortunately, many were taking from the treasury. When Abdullah bin Mas'ud complained, Uthman removed him and put Al-Walid. Al-Walid, the Quran called him a fasiq. How can you have someone who is governor of Kufa, who is openly a fasiq, a sinner? Do you know this Al-Walid, when he was governor of Kufa, left Salat al-Fajr drunk. And when he left Salat al-Fajr drunk, in his ruku' and his sujood, instead of saying Subhana Rabbi al-Azimi wa bihamdih, or instead of saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la wa bihamdih, he would say Ashrabi wa asqini, drink and satiate me with more alcohol. And further than that, his lady, his girlfriend, Rabab her name was, he would look at her and he would in his salah talk of the poetry when he'd say "Aliq al-qalb rubaba ba'da ma shabat wa shaba." He would say the heart is attached to Rabab after it has drunk alcohol and become drunk. Salah. Have you ever in your life seen someone in salah say lines like this? The companions who were present saw how drunk he was. And if you didn't believe he was drunk, I'll show you how definitely he was drunk. Salat al-Fajr is how many rak'ah? What happens when you pray four rak'ah? Salat al-Fajr, how drunk must you be? Salat al-Fajr, most people in the end of the second rak'ah, they want to jump back into bed. Four rak'ah for Salat al-Fajr, and on the fourth rak'ah, he turned around to the jama'ah, and he said, shall I continue? Governor of Kufa. Ali ibn Abi Talib has no position in Islam, and people like this were in position. The man whose father used to destroy Islam, the man who has a verse about him where he is a fasiq, gets the governorship of Kufa, and the man who helped build the religion has no position. Our history, sometimes I think we should burn it. Don't you think so? Burn it. Rewrite the stupidity of people who came in positions like this man. So the people went to Aisha and they said to her, O mother of the believers, look at this. And Aisha was angry. Aisha, without a doubt, she had come forward and she said, this is unacceptable. And she told Uthman, O long-bearded Jew, remove him. What did she call him? Long-bearded Jew. As the poet says, they accuse us of being the people who come forward and curse when the cursing began in their own loins. Uthman wouldn't remove him. That's his cousin. And sometimes in life, when you have a big position, it's hard to remove your cousins. Isn't it? I'm not only blaming Uthman. I look at the school of Ahlul Bayt today and ask myself how much nepotism there is in our own school now. That needs a further discussion another time. And so they went to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Uthman wasn't doing anything. Imam Ali said, what's the issue? They told him. He said, is anything going to be done or no? The reply was, Uthman said, that's my cousin. Imam said, very well. If you're not going to whip him, I'll do the whipping. Because when you are in that position, there has to be 80 lashes, isn't it? Imam went ahead. Some reports say Abdullah bin Ja'far. And others say that the Imam himself went. You think this Walid bin Aqba forgave Ali ibn Abi Talib for what he did to him? In my research, Muawiyah bin Abi Sufyan would not have fought in the Battle of Siffin were it not for Walid ibn Aqba. And I can show you proof. Read Kitab al-Aghani of Abu al-Faraj al-Asfahani, who is also the author of Maqatil al-Talibiyin. Abu al-Faraj al-Asfahani in Kitab al-Aghani. Kitab al-Aghani is all these, it's a book, it's a huge book. It's one of those books where it will take quite a while to read one page, let alone the volumes. He has a piece of poetry. Muawiyah writes a letter where he says to Ali ibn Abi Talib, all I want from you is not a war. I want the money of Syria and Egypt. That's it. Give me their money, I will back off. Al-Walid tells Muawiyah, I will never call you the son of Hind if you let the son of Abu Talib away with this. Fight him, you are the son of Hind. Otherwise, I will detach you. And Muawiyah, hearing these words of Walid, fights the battle of Safin because of this issue. Therefore, you found that this verse was trying to highlight to us what? That beware of the spreading of rumors in your community. And do you know how many rumors were spread about Al-Muhammad? Do you know how many? Wallah. Imam Al-Hassan would walk in Medina one day and a person comes to him and says, curse be on you and your father who did not pray namaz. Ali ibn Abi Talib doesn't pray salah. When they asked the person, what do you mean? He said, we heard Ali ibn Abi Talib died. Yes, Ali ibn Abi Talib died. How did he die? He was praying. Does Ali ibn Abi Talib pray? Rumor. Muawiyah spread. Ali ibn Abi Talib does not pray. Do you know in Sham, up until a few hundred years ago, when parents wanted to scare their children, they'll tell them, beware of the ghost called Ali entering your room. Rumors. You keep building these rumors, that's what happens. Imam, for example, our seventh Imam who I'll discuss tonight in my majlis. I'm telling you it was a rumor that his own nephew spread about him that caused Harun al-Rashid to put him in prison. Imam's brother, Ismail, had a son called Ali who spread a rumor about the Imam had put Imam in prison. I'll discuss it later in the majlis. Imam al-Hadi one day al-Mutawakkil ransacked his house because al-Mutawakkil was given rumors that Imam al-Hadi has lots of weapons in his house and he's going to fight you. Al-Mutawakkil, you know what he did? Al-Mutawakkil came forward and the narration say to us that when al-Mutawakkil came forward, he said to his soldiers, ambush the house of Ali al-Hadi at midnight and enter and take all his weapons. They entered the house. They entered and they saw Imam Ali al-Hadi in his sujood with one sword next to him. When al-Mutawakkil entered with them, he's like, where's the weapons? Imam al-Hadi said, I have no weapons. All I have is my prayer mat and this mattress which I lie on. Nothing else. Al-Mutawakkil took out some alcohol next to Imam al-Hadi and said, drink.
And Imam Al-Hadi looked at him. One rumor about Imam Al-Hadi. Look what they did to him. Imam Al-Hadi said, we will never touch alcohol. Mutawakkil said, if you're not going to touch alcohol, this is meant to be Khalifa. This is Khalifa. If you're not going to touch alcohol, then at least recite poetry. Imam Al-Hadi said, I only have a few lines which I remember from my grandfather Amir Al-Mu'mineen. Mutawakkil said, recite. Imam looked at Mutawakkil and said, and this was in reference to these people, that they collect in this world, but there's nothing at the end. They made the high peaks their residence, and permanently and always stationed guards next to them. But none of them could stop death from approaching them. Finally, they were dragged from their grand palaces into the ditches of graves. And how unfortunately they arrived in it. At that time, the voice of the caller of God raised, which said, where are the decorations? Where are the crowns? Where is the magnanimity, the ostentatiousness and the grandeur? Where did those faces brought up in luxury and nurtured upon wealth showed their pride to others? The grave made them low, and their faces turned into the fields of attacks of insects and worms. One day they ate and they drank what they desired without any care, but today they have themselves become food of the animals of the ground. Therefore, it is vital in our communities that when we hear people spreading a false rumor, we give 70 benefits of the doubt to the person, and we stop these people in terms of what they are saying and what they are doing. Inshallah, the tafsir will continue tomorrow after Sheikh Saftar's introduction about the masail of fasting. I will continue straight after him.